Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Everybody on our head, as we turn that song to prayer, as we commit our lives and our hearts into the Lord, as we ask of Him that He will continue to lead us wherever He leads, we will go. Let's pray for grace to live such life that is acceptable and God glorifying all the time, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray that His word will reach out to us this evening as we behold the word of liberty, that we will be transformed by the reason of the word of life, in the name of Jesus. Let's yield ourselves to Him, and let's ask that He will take total control this evening and speak to us by Himself, in the name of Jesus. Let's ask that our hearts, each and every one of us, will be yielded to Him. We shall not just be forgetful. We shall not be forgetful hearer, but everything that He has in mind, and as He speaks to us, that we will align ourselves with His will, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray that we will receive a touch from Him, from the sweet Holy Spirit, this evening. We will bring freshness upon our souls. We will rekindle our love for Him. We will re-energize and grant us fresh strength to pursue that which is pleasing to Him. Let's pray that we will receive fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes with a transforming power, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray that we will indeed know that we have come to have an encounter, and indeed we will have an encounter with Him this evening, in the name of Jesus. That it shall not be a waste of time, it shall not just be to mark record or just to fulfill all righteousness. No, we have come unto Mount Zion, we have come to the fellowship with our Father. Let's pray that indeed that fellowship will be impacting this evening in our individual lives and in the entire church and ministry, in the name of Jesus. We look upon to You, Lord our God. Each time we have this opportunity, Your presence. You have said that You have not asked the sons of Jacob to seek You in vain. So we know we have not come here in vain. And we yield ourselves up unto You, as we appreciate You for the privilege that we are able to gather here. So we pray, O God, that You will touch us in a unique way. Grant us encounter with Your Spirit. Glorify Your name in our midst this evening, O Lord. Open our eyes to Your words. Cause tests and hunger for You in us much more than ever before, in the name of Jesus. Let it be that everything, O God, that You will do in our lives today, O God, we will indeed have reasons to praise Your name. Thank You, blessed Father. I submit myself up unto You as we fellowship with Your Spirit this evening, that all of us will be blessed by the reason of Your words, all to the glory and praise of Your name. Thank You, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. Oh, move among us, we call You Father. We lay aside our earthly desire. thank God for each and every one of us that always consider it a priority. I always believe you people have time for what they want to have time for. So I want to thank God for each and every one of us that always consider it a priority to come and learn at the feet of the Lord. And of course, people miss meetings for different reasons. And so, yeah, there may be people who would have loved to be here, and for very cogent, genuine reasons, they are not able to make it. There may be also people who may not have given it a priority. Not that they could not make time, but maybe it's not their priority. But I think we must have to be praying and pray for ourselves that indeed, when we come into the presence of the Lord, there will be an encounter. You know, John the Baptist was in the wilderness. And the Bible says people from different places went looking for him. So when the presence of God is in the place, when the power of God is at work, when the glory of God is shining, when the fullness of the power of God is at work, you cannot deny it. And people will have just to run and seek the presence of God. So that's a challenge. I think we should pray for ourselves, especially those of us who are very consistent by the grace of God, and that in our lives and our meetings, the presence of God will be too evident. When it is so, I mean, everybody will then come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. So let us continue to pray for ourselves. Let us continue to pray for our meetings. Let us continue to pray for our individual lives, that the evidence of God's glory will be so undeniable when the glory of God descends, severally in the scripture you see that even there are instances the ministers are not able to even stand. I think that is what we should do more. Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for the glory of God much more than we have seen. And I know he will not deny us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Is it possible that we'll just take 1 minute to pray? You pray for yourself. Let me pray for myself. Let's pray for ourselves. That the Lord God Almighty will visit your life, will visit my life with his glory, with his presence, in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God, the manifestation and the presence of the Spirit of God is not something you begin to say, what is happening there? When he is there, you will know. You remember what happened in the book of Acts chapter 3? When he's there, it's manifestations, his glory is undeniable. I want us to pray that prayer for ourselves in the name of Jesus and pray even for Thursday meetings. Let's pray once again. Lord, we are thirsty for you. We are thirsty for your presence. We are thirsty for your transformation power. We are thirsty for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist didn't have to plant, make any flyer, you remember? He didn't have to call anybody. He was in the remote village. He was in the remote place like that. But the Bible says all kind of people, mighty people in the society, they went looking for him. Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that God will visit us again. Will visit our lives individually. Will visit our homes. We visit our meetings. We visit us in an undeniable way. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray this prayer with all of our heart. In the name of Jesus. The presence of God announces itself. The glory of God, when it is there, it is there. Let us pray that, Lord, we are desirous of your presence at another level. Much more than ever we have known. In the name of Jesus. In Thursday meetings, in Sunday meetings, you have been gracious to us. But there's another depth that you can show us. There's another height you can bring us to. There's another glory you can reveal to us and in us. There's another level of your glory that you can reveal in us. And that's what we're asking for. In the name of Jesus. And for us especially, that you have given the grace that consistently, I know some of us don't meet Thursday. We don't miss it. Thursday meetings, we don't miss it. Will you pray, Lord, let my life announce your glory. Let my life announce your glory.
in the name of Jesus. Do something around me that people will know that indeed it pays to seek the presence of God and to fellowship, you know, with such zeal and seriousness in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. We worship you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Last week, Mommy asked that very clear question. And I know all of us, the answer is yes, we all need the Holy Spirit. She asked us, who needs the Holy Spirit? And we all know we need the Holy Spirit. We need Him. Not just as a religious conversation and discussion. The Spirit of God is a person. We need His fellowship. We need His presence. We need His power. We were told that He is the one who enables us to live according to the will of God. The Spirit of God is the enabling, He gives the enabling capacity. He enables us. You know, these are days that people struggle. We struggle with prayers. We struggle with holy living. We struggle with believing the word of God. We struggle with faith. We struggle in so many ways. But the Spirit of God is the energizer. He's the one who gives life. He enables us, you know, to live such life that is pleasing to God. It's the Spirit that transforms our lives. It takes us from one level of glory to another, one level of faith to another. It transforms our life. It's the power of God that creates more desire. We were told last week, it creates more desire for us to follow God. For us to follow God. When the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of a person, you won't have to force that person to desire God. You won't have to force that person to seek God. You won't have to force that person to pray. When you are forcing people, when we are dragging people, we need the Holy Spirit. When He's there, I mean, many of us can bear witness. Sometimes you just want to go 1 hour, 2 hours, you are praying. You know, you are seeking God's face. You just want to worship God. When the Spirit of God is at work, He creates in us that desire. He moves us in the path that is pleasing to God. He's the one who produces the fruit of the Spirit. We were told last week, He's the one who produces the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in such a manner, at such a rate, that we are able to counter the works of the flesh. And we study from Galatians chapter 5, 22 downward. He creates in us, He enables the working of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and we are able to even counter the works of the flesh. But as we relate with the Spirit of God in our lives as believers, we must always have to look at the life of Jesus Christ, because He's the perfect model. He's a perfect example. He is the one who exemplified what it takes to live by the fullness of the Spirit of God. And every now and then, we have to learn from Him. In fact, Himself said we should learn of Him. Praise the name of the Lord. We will know that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, it was recorded how He was baptized. How He was baptized. You know, and John the Baptist has received as a sign that upon whom the Holy Spirit will come, that is the Messiah. So we see that even from the beginning of entry into the ministry, he was given to the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. Hallelujah. It was recorded of him that even at birth, the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ was by the Holy Spirit. Mary was told, that which will be born of you shall be called the Son of God, but the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will conceive. And we know the story. So Jesus Christ, from conception, all through His life, all through His physical life here, we see the manifestation of the Spirit of God in His fullness in His life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 11, and that's our key test for this evening. Isaiah chapter 11, we'll read the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 11. Jesus is a perfect example. And we want to learn how important relating with the Holy Spirit, the benefit, the blessings, the strength He gives, the manifestations, the giftings. We need to look at our Lord once again. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 3. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight
is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Praise the name of the Lord. That was the prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not very sure I've announced the title. Okay. If you want the topic for today, it is the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to reflect more on what Mommy laid before us last week. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So this was the prophecy that was given about the Messiah. And some people will look at and talk about the sevenfold or seven dimensions of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But it was supposed to be what the Messiah, what Christ will manifest. And it says, when it shall come, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. In fact, from verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. This is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ, that in the fullness of time, the Messiah shall come from the root of Jesse. But if you remember, the moment we see rod there, perhaps you remember the rod of Moses, and you remember the rod of Aaron. And one key thing about those two rods was the transformation, was that something happened. Ordinary rod became extraordinary. That's the first thing we see from that Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Ordinary rod, Moses' inconsequential rod, with which he was just shepherding goats and sheep and animals, it was just an inconsequential, ordinary, useless rod, as it were. Okay? So that was what Moses was holding. But something happened to that rod that it became extraordinary, even to the surprise of Moses himself that was holding the rod. The same thing happened to Aaron. There was dispute and God gave Moses instruction. You separate, let everybody from their tribe bring rods, and then let them submit it in the temple. Let Aaron also bring a rod. Ordinary rod, just ordinary rod. But what happened upon those rods was transformation. Was that the Spirit of God came, the power of God came upon those rods, you know, and they became extraordinary. Praise the name of the Lord. So even from there, we see that the Messiah would be a man, would be an ordinary person, that the Spirit of God will come upon. And we see that in his life again and again, as we're going to see this evening. God was telling us ahead of time, you know, how he is going to make ordinary things to become extraordinary. How he's going to make carnal things to become spiritual. How in our lives, indeed, ordinary life, ordinary things, carnal nature, will be transformed to become spiritual, will become that which is pleasing to God. That is what God had always intended, and that's what he said will happen even through the Messiah. He will come from the root of Jesse. It will be an ordinary rod, and then he will grow up to become the Messiah. And the Spirit of God will come upon him. It is by the instrumentality of the Spirit of God that transformation will take place. And it mentioned, the prophet mentioned seven clear things and we're going to come back to those seven things. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon him. He will give him the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. He will have counsel and might and knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. These things will come upon the Messiah, and then he will be able to fulfill the divine destiny that God had planned. Praise the name of the Lord. So we come to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And you see that the Bible recorded clearly that how God anointed and consecrated Jesus Christ. I'm reading from Amplified Version. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It was prophesied of him in Isaiah. It was prophesied of him in Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 11, and several other scriptures. The Messiah's life was prophesied. He was supposed to be from the root of Jesse, an ordinary person. But the Spirit of God will come upon him, and then he will become Christ indeed. So now in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, something happened, and it was recorded for our understanding. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and it says with the strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed
and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed, how the Spirit of God came upon Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus of Nazareth, please let's take note of what the word of God says. Jesus of Nazareth, it didn't even say Christ here. Yeah. It's just Jesus. And you see, this Jesus, our Lord, many times when he introduces himself, he calls himself Son of Man. You know, in the scriptures, he's called Son of Man and he's also called Son of God. Because it has been spoken of him. He's from the root of Jesse. And a rod that rises from just ordinary lineage. Just ordinary lineage. But like it was with Moses and Aaron, something came upon him. And that is what is recorded for us in this Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The anointing, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Came upon Jesus of Nazareth. Came upon Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to do extraordinary things. So Jesus himself called himself Son of Man. Many times when he introduces himself in the Bible, he would call himself the Son of Man. He used that expression very many more times than introducing himself as Son of God. If you check and use KJV as baseline for your studies, you will see that several times when Jesus introduces himself, he called himself Son of Man. Few occasions, especially in the book of John, he called himself Son of God under different circumstances. But many times, Jesus will call himself Son of Man. He will say, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, and many more scriptures like that. Praise the name of the Lord. And the expression Son of Man, introduces Jesus as identifying with us. Identify with the human nature. It exemplified human life, the frailty, the limitations peculiar to man. He talks about the flesh, the nature, the sinful nature of man. He identified, when he called himself Son of Man, he is identifying with you. He's reminding us of our ordinariness. He's reminding us like the rod of Moses and the rod of Aaron that were just ordinary. He's identifying with our sinful nature, our frailty, our limitations, those things that are peculiar to man. Each time you see Son of Man in the scriptures, the Bible is reminding us of our human nature. It's talking about who we are, the human being. When we say, we are humans now, yes. That's exactly what that concept of Son of Man means. And you see in Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man. The Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither Son of Man. It is the Son of Man that lies. God will not lie. Praise the name of the Lord. In Psalm 8, verse 4, David came to a point and said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visited him. What is the Son of Man? They are just inconsequential, ordinary people. Praise the name of the Lord. What are we talking about this evening? The fact that God knew and saw ahead of time and gave an example in our Lord Jesus Christ that humans, ordinary nature, ordinary sinful people can actually receive the Holy Spirit and become extraordinary. Severally, Jesus called himself Son of Man. Matthew chapter 11 verse 19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. The Son of Man, when they were accusing him, look at him, just a babbler. He moves around, he's walking with all kind of people. He has friends with tax collectors and all kind of things. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, when he was responding to them, he said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a man gluttonous. He said, behold, a man gluttonous. Behold, a man. Jesus is talking about himself. This wasn't reported. This was him. This will be red letter in your KJV. You know, behold a man gluttonous and a wine babbler. That's what he says. A friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified by our children. He called himself ordinary Son of Man. He identified with us. He identified with our sinful nature. He identified with our frailty. And many other scriptures. So many other scriptures. So much that even in Revelation chapter 14, post-resurrection, when John the Beloved, we see the Lord, post-resurrection, John chapter 14, verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud, one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hands a sharp sickle. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus identified with us. He identified with us as human. He identified with us as flesh and blood. He identified with our fearableness. He identified with our weakness or weaknesses. He identified with our nature, a failing nature, our inability to stand. He identified with that. He didn't come in the wing of angels. He could have come like a cherub. The Messiah could have come like a cherub. And when he does like this, everybody will just... No, he didn't come like that. The Messiah could have come like that. But from my side, it was prophesied. He will be a rod from Jesse, an ordinary rod. But you remember what God did with an ordinary rod from the life of Moses and Aaron. He could have come like a cherub. He could have come like a seraph with fire everywhere. Jesus would have come that way. He didn't have to do that. He came as Son of Man. And in fact, even after his resurrection, he still retained that physique, that nature, that resemblance of men, even in the throne of God. Hallelujah. Jesus never wants us, he never really wants us to deny our humanity. No, God didn't want us to deny our humanity. If he wanted us to deny our humanity, he would have created us as angels, robots. He didn't want us to deny our humanity. So that you are human, that you are afraid, that you are tempted. It's normal. He created us that way. Hallelujah. So Jesus ate, he drank, he wept, visited the sick. He identified with the prisoners. He identified with the oppressed. He identified with the human frailty. He identified fully with it. He went to Canaan in Galilee. Name whatever that is human, it was part of it. So much. I mean, can you imagine before people will conclude that, look, where is this? Is this Messiah? Why is he moving around in that passage I read? He said, look, the Son of Man came. I heard to them, you say, I'm gluttonous and all that. He must have been so much with those ones. Identify with them. Identify with their frailty. Showing them love and concern. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, he was created, you know, in our likeness. Philippians chapter 2, 7 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, 7 to 11. We don't have time to look at that, but it's a familiar scripture that we know so well. He was created in our likeness. He bore the likeness of a sinful man. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 talks about that we do not have an high priest who cannot bear with our frailty, but one who was tempted like us in every way, yet without sin. Hallelujah. So that's what it means. When he says Son of Man, he's talking about identifying with you, identify with me, identify with our frailty. That's our weakness. That's our inability to portray faith. That's our inability, you know, to stand sometimes when we needed to stand. Jesus identified with that. Jesus identified with that. Hallelujah. But also, he was the Son of God. He was also the Son of God. And that was not in any way demeaned. It was not brought low. Jesus was also the Son of God. He didn't use that expression so much, only very sparingly. Please, you can take time to study your Bible. He didn't use that expression so much. He used more of an expression of Son of Man every time he introduces himself. Few occasions, he called himself the Son of God. And several scriptures talk about that. But you see, when we study our Bible, we found out that the people that were calling him the Son of God, it was the people. It was the people that were introducing him with the Son. Of course, he is the Son of God. There's no doubt about that. But he identified with man so much. And very occasionally, he will call himself the Son of God. But how is it that people identify him as Son of God? Demons and spirits, every now and then, when he's dealing with them, say, don't destroy us. Why are you doing this to us? Thou Son of God. When people encounter him, they notice and they say, he's the Son of God. So you see in the scriptures, it was the testimony of people more announcing him as the Son of God, proclaiming him as the Son of God because of what they saw. Because of what they saw. Not necessarily because of what he said, but because of what they saw. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. That was the first temptation, the major temptation that Satan, and said, if you are the Son of God, why don't you change this? Of course, we know how he answered all that. If thou be the Son of God, Matthew 4, 6, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angel charge over thee. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, demons cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? What have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And many other scriptures. John chapter 10, verse 36. John chapter 10, verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blaspheme, because I said, I am the Son of God. So he went further in that passage. He was asking them, which of the works that I have done, because of which of these works are you crucifying me now? And they said, no, we are not crucifying you because of good works you have done. We are crucifying you because we are opposing you because you said you are Son of God. So, Jesus also is the Son of God. But much more than him pronouncing it, the works, the evidences, the manifestations proclaimed it. And that is very, very important. The manifestation, the evidences of his life, the authority he showed, the power he displayed over demons, the answer he gave, the wisdom he displayed, how he was able to overcome the temptation around him, were the evidences that announced him as the Son of God. And that you see severally, that as people marvel as the glory of God, as a marvel as the manifestation of his power, as a marvel as the manifestation of his authority over demon, over Satan, over spirit, how he healed the sick, how he displayed the God's glory, they say, wow, doubtlessly, thou art the Son of God. Praise the name of the Lord. They all acknowledge that he is the Son of God. They acknowledge that he is the Son of God. And that's the challenge today. On our own part, we're the one that say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Son of God. Rather, God would want the glory of God in our life, the manifestation of victories over sin, over Satan, over powers, over principalities, to announce his glory in our lives. That's the desire and the expectation of God, and may that be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But the question is, how is it that Jesus came in the flesh? In fact, in First John, the Bible says, if anyone does not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that's how important it is to realize that Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus came to identify with us as man, as men, as woman. So if anybody does not, if anybody believes that Jesus is just spirit, then that faith has problem. So don't wonder that as we must accept, and it is true, that he came as flesh and blood. But how is it that he was able to bear the sinful nature, bear the human nature? How is it that Jesus bore the human nature? Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 downward. How is it that he bore the likeness of man? How is it that he bore the nature of man, the frailty of man? How is it that he identified with all that and he has the fullness of God at the same time? How is it that he was able to overcome sin? He was able to overcome temptation. Yes, he was human. How was that possible? And it was all by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was all by the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3, 34, 35. John chapter 3, verse 34 and 35. The Bible says very clearly that he that was called of God, he that was born of God, had the Spirit of God without measure. He was baptized with the Spirit of God without measure. He has the fullness of the Spirit of God. He embodied the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In his human nature, in his body, was the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So if you think you have a measure of the Holy Spirit, there's still a bigger measure that you can possess, you can have. Jesus has the fullness. And when he has the fullness, it was evidenced by his wisdom. It was evident by the authority he showed. It was evident by the lifestyle. It was evident by the answers he gave. It was evident by how he overcome sin that he did have to begin to announce, "Don't you know I'm the Son of God?" The works were announcing him. The power were announcing him. The glory that he displayed. He was in the temple as he was asking, at the time as he was teaching, they said, "Oh, he's teaching, he doesn't talk like the Pharisees. He talks like somebody who has authority." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, people don't come to meeting because they think they have enough of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, yes, I know, genuinely, there may be reasons. But you see, when you know your life depends on certain things, you give it full attention. You give that in full attention. We need the Spirit of God like, I don't know how to describe it. Without him, we can do nothing. Jesus himself, he was able to bear the fullness of the destiny as a Messiah, the Son of God, the manifestation of that destiny as a Messiah here on earth, only by the fullness of the Spirit of God. The Bible says he had the Spirit without measure. And when you compare that with the flow of the Spirit in the temple as was it was revealed by Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 47, it opened our eyes to see how the Spirit flows, how the Spirit manifests in the temple. And it is in measure. It is in measure. We don't have all the time, you know, but I know it's a passage you are so familiar, Ezekiel chapter 47. The Spirit of God took him to the temple to see his presence in the temple. The Bible says somebody went before him with a measure. When he did the first measure, it was at the ankle. It was at the ankle. And another time, went forward by 1,000 cubits, measured again, it was at the knee, and then at the waist. And then, I said, as he moves forward towards the east, the place of worship, as he moves forward into the temple, into the presence of God, he enters into a realm that he cannot even control himself. He enters into the realm of the fullness of the Spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ carried the fullness of the Spirit of God in his body. And so, all kind of temptation he was able to overcome. He was able to walk the fullness of the expectation of God's purpose and destiny over his life as the Messiah. Today, what's the challenges? The challenge is that the Spirit of God can move us from being son of man to becoming sons of God, daughters of God. It is not by power. It is not by might. It is by the Spirit of God. It is not by law. It is not by coercion. It is not by force. It is not by push. It is by the Spirit of God. It is not by whatever. It is by the Spirit of God. For where the Spirit of God is, there is power. There is capacity. There is enablement. If there's anything the church needs more now, not just GT, but the church as a whole, we need to task, and not by force, but as an individual come to realization how much we truly need the Spirit of God. How much we truly need the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God corners a person, he will drop a sin. He will drop it. I don't just find pleasure in that thing again. When the Spirit of God constrains a man, he will run errand that you didn't send him. He will go extra mile. He will run before you know it. When the Spirit of God comes. When the Spirit of God comes. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he has the Spirit without measure. What is your measure today? What's my measure? Maybe it's at the ankle. Maybe it's at the knee or something. But certainly I know we are not flowing in it fully. We are still not flowing in it fully. As long as we still struggle with our humanity, as long as we still struggle with our faith, and we still struggle with certain things of this world that caught our attention and drag us, as long as we still show carnality, we still need more of the Spirit of God. As long as our prayer life is the way it is, and our faith is the way it is, we still need the Spirit of the living God. We need another level of Him. We need more of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in that, Isaiah chapter 11, as we begin to to round up and pray now. In that Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 and 4, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. Says that Spirit will give him, first is the Spirit of the Lord, the Lordship of Jesus, the Lordship of God himself shall rest upon him. The ownership of God will come upon him. So he will say, I do nothing except what I see my Father do. I am completely sold out to my Father. That's what Jesus will say. Though the Son of Man, with the Spirit of God upon him, he gives total allegiance to the Father. It is the Spirit of God in our life that enables us to operate the total lordship, giving out to God. It can only be by the Spirit of God. It cannot be by tradition of men. It cannot be by the law of men. No, it cannot be by those things. It can only be by the Spirit of God that people are giving completely sold out to God. It can only be by the Spirit of God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The lordship of the Almighty. The ownership of God will rest upon him. He will yield himself completely. The question is, how much have we yielded? How much of the ownership of God of heaven is upon my life and is upon your life? That can only be as the Spirit of God rests upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. For Jesus, he manifested wisdom. They marvel at his wisdom. They marvel. He was Son of Man. He was ordinary. He was just like any human. He wasn't a cherub. He wasn't a seraph. He wasn't an angel. He was human. He was Jesus of Nazareth. At the time they told him, they said, where did he get all this? His brother's not with us here. But how did that happen? That he exemplified such depth of wisdom that even the sages and the Sir Henry marvel by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Wisdom, insight, and right application of knowledge. How much we need that today in our homes? Many homes are in crisis because of lack of wisdom. Basic wisdom of the Word of God. Basic wisdom of the Word of God. In raising children today, how much we need the wisdom of God? In aligning our lives in such a way that we have the peace of God because we obey the Word of God. How much we need the wisdom of God in that dimension today? How much we need the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God, it says, the Spirit of God will come upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom will manifest. And it did manifest in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. And it says also the Spirit of understanding. Understanding is related to discernment. These are dimensions, the sevenfold dimensions that came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that came upon the Son of Man, by which he manifested the glory of God, and he was acknowledged as the Son of God. Understanding, discernment, discretion, wisdom to be able to say, to distinguish between this and that, to distinguish between right and wrong. Many people are not able to discern even what is good and what is bad today. Dressing, going out, whatever. Not being able to discern, just be able to make a distinction because they lack understanding. But when the Spirit of God comes upon the man, he will grant him understanding. He will be able to design, be able to make a distinction. And we need that Spirit. We need him. We need him much more than ever before in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is the Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of counsel. Counsel has to do with having right advice. Having right guidance. How many times they came to him and, in fact, the Bible says they want to tempt him. They really want to put him in trouble. Should we pay? Should we give money to Caesar or not? Very tempting questions. Give me a coin. Whose name is on it? Caesar's name. Okay, give to Caesar what is Caesar. And give to God what is God. What a depth of wisdom. What right counsel that came at the right time. And they brought a woman that was caught in adultery. The Bible says in the very heart, one, the man is not brought with him. And secondly, the woman is here. Say, what did you say? Should we stone him? Because that's what the law of Moses commanded. Should we stone him? If he says stone him, he validated the law. If he said don't stone him, they will say he has thrown away Moses. And Jesus has not come to throw away the law. The Bible says he has come to fulfill it. Fulfilling it means it gives us capacity to live the law and even live above it. That's why the Bible says there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. For the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus has... Hallelujah. That's Romans chapter 8 verse 1. So they brought him and he was in the middle. And the counsel came. Whoever has no sin, let him throw the first stone. And the Bible says one after the other they left. One after the other they left. What a counsel. But did he say that the woman, oh, you have done well? Is that what he said? No. Jesus never condoned sin. But he knows that the motive with which those people that came was not going to help the woman. He said, now, where are your accusers? He said, none of them. He said, neither do I accuse you. But you go and sin no more. Counsel. Many times we are in difficulty because we don't have the right counsel. In our homes, in the church, everywhere. And somebody needs counsel. Out there, people need counsel. People get into trouble. They are looking for counsel. They are looking for wisdom. They are looking for somebody to just say, wait. It's not like that. First of all, relax. God will help you. You don't know how far that can go in saving somebody from death and from destruction. But we are the people that are supposed to show such counsel, show such wisdom, not just within this four walls, wherever we find ourselves. So much that the people themselves will testify, she's a daughter of God. Because that's what happened with Jesus. He wasn't the one announcing himself all around. Demons announcing. Pilate announcing. Are you truly the Son of God? He said, you said so. Because in my kingdom, this and that and that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Counsel. Having right guidance, direction, knowing where to turn. That's counsel. Psalm 32 verse 8. He said, you will not be like a mule who have no understanding, who doesn't know what to do, who doesn't know what to do. Many people are confused at the point of marriage, at the point of taking critical decisions. You need the Spirit of God. You need a new baptism of the Spirit of God. You need a new enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And then you have counsel. You have discernment. He talks about might. And then the spirit of might will come upon him. Hallelujah. The spirit of counsel and might. Strength to do what is right. The Bible talks about some people who have the resemblance of what is right, but they lack the power thereof. They lack the might. They know what is expected, but they lack the might. They know that this thing is wrong, but they lack the might to say no to it. Hallelujah. But it says when the spirit of, he will give him might. He will give him strength to do what is right and victoriously pursue what is glorious. That's might. You are able to pursue what is right. You are able to pursue what is good. You have strength. Sometimes God has even given promises. People lack might. Strength in the place of prayer. Strength in the place of faith. And beyond prayer and faith, strength to take right steps. To even take steps. God has said this. Let me go. Let me go and see what, and see the manifestation of the promise of God as he has spoken. Might, strength to do what is right always. And talk about the spirit of knowledge, knowing the way of God, knowing the way of God. Many people are deceived today. You know, sometimes you don't need to go to Bible school or anything. When somebody is speaking, we have so many prophets, everybody is a prophet today. And you wonder, sometimes you listen, you have to say, but how will somebody believe this thing that this man is saying? How will somebody believe? Why wouldn't they believe? Because they don't have knowledge. It takes the knowledge of what is true to be able to discern an error. If you don't have the knowledge of what is true, you will not be able to discern an error. Anybody can say anything. Anybody can prophesy anything. But it's only what God has put in people's mouth that he will honor. So if you don't know how to discern what God has put in the people's mouth, what is the word of God, we are bound to fall into error. Knowledge of the way of God. He showed his way to Moses only his acts. And many people are running around for his acts. I know if we are the ministry where every evening, maybe there is seven miracles to Kiniko and seven Kiniko to Kiniko. The real miracle is that the Son of Man can become Son of God. That is what the church is supposed to be teaching. How do we become sons of God? It's a lifelong thesis. We cannot finish it. Hallelujah. becoming the Son of God. But if it's 7 days of goodness and 7 days of all those trash, so how many people have become what they were saying? But we don't ask questions because many people lack knowledge. It shall not be so with us in the name of Jesus. What I'm saying to this evening is, as many of us that are consistent in coming, we should desire something deeper. We should desire something more. And indeed, it is available in God. Hallelujah. And finally it says, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Deep reverence for God. Honor, respect for God. When the spirit of God comes to you, elders and pastors will not have to force somebody to fear God, to reverence God, to honor God. We won't have to do that. We won't have to do this. Not even within our purview to begin to force. No, we'll lay the counsel of God before you. We'll lay the counsel of God before ourselves and trust God by the spirit of God that we will be. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for the few minutes we have over these seven things, seven dimensions. I call it the dimensions of the Holy Spirit. He came upon Jesus by which he operated, and people acknowledge that even though he's a son of man, but he's the son of God. He's the son of God. Demonstrated the spirit of the Lord, demonstrated wisdom, power, might, counsel, understanding, and knowledge. Shall we stand on our feet and begin to call on God? And he says it's by the Spirit. For Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit without measure. He had the Spirit of God without measure. John chapter 3, verse 34, 35. But for us, Ezekiel told us that in the temple, it's in measures. As we press further, 1,000 cubits at the ankle, another 1,000 cubits at the knee, another 1,000 cubits at the waist, another 1,000 cubits at the breast, another 1,000 cubits, we cannot even cross it again. Let's call on God this evening and say, Father, take me further, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring me closer in the power of the Holy Spirit. If there's anything that we need to ask of him, deeply, 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 asking. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye then be evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him? We give the Holy Spirit as a measure. Now you have a measure, but there's another measure until we become full of the Holy Spirit. Until we become full of the Holy Spirit. Until we become full of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of our life, then we show that indeed we are children of God. Demons will not threaten us when that happens. Powers and principality will be under our feet. Are they now? They are not. So I want us to cry to God and say, Father, baptize me afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptize me afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful that we are always here. We are always here seeking the Spirit of God. Oh, can you pray? Let us pray. Let's ask him in the name of Jesus. What happened in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ that transformed him from being ordinary Jesus of Nazareth, ordinary son of man, ordinary man in the flesh? And the Bible says he bore our frailty. He bear with us. He was like us. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation upon his head was clear that even demons say he's the son of God. Pilate said he's the son of God. Everyone that encountered him said, no, this is not Jesus of Nazareth. This is the son of God. This is the son of God. How? The Bible says the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of sons of God. Sons of God. People who bear the seventh dimension of the Spirit of God without measure. Without measure. Thank you for the measure you have. Oh, we praise God for the measure you have now. That's a deeper measure. There's a deeper measure. There's a deeper level of the wisdom of God. There's a deeper level of the knowledge of God, of the power of God, by which we can overcome sin. We're able to overcome struggles of life. We're able to stand and pursue righteousness. We're able to please God in our ways, in the name of Jesus. Ask the Lord, say, Father, baptize me at another level, in the name of Jesus Christ. No matter what levels you may think you have, can we ask God, Lord, baptize me. Baptize me. That struggle is a sign that you need more of the Spirit of God. That sin is a sign that you need more of the Spirit of God. That oppression of the devil, that thing that come upon you in the night, it's a sign that you need the Spirit of God. It's a sign. It's not for you to be jumping around. It's not for you to be seeking mountains. It's a sign that you need another level of the Spirit of God. That oppression of the devil, that kicking in the night, that oppression that you experience, that loss, is a sign that you need the Spirit of God. When Jesus rose and he stood and he dealt with demons, they themselves said, why are you dealing with us like this? Have you come to judge us before our time? You thou son of God. You thou son of God. It's not because you need to run from one meeting. It is redeemed. It is mountain of fire. You don't need that. What you need, what I need, is the Spirit of God. It is the manifestation, it is the fullness of the Spirit of God. When Jesus had it, demon bowed. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. How Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, with power, with the might of God. He went abroad, went everywhere. He was doing good. He was doing good. He was doing good. Let's pray. Let's pray to God in the name of Jesus. You are at a point of decision. You want to, should I do this or should I do that? Should I move forward or not? You need counsel. The spirit of counsel comes upon you. The spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel, the spirit that gives understanding, he gives men understanding. The spirit of the Lord, Job chapter 32 verse 8, he said the spirit of God giveth men understanding. He giveth men understanding. That sickness is a sign that you need the power of God at another level. It can be subdued. That sickness can be subdued. And it shall be subdued by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hand and say, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, touch me anew, touch me anew, touch me anew. Touch me anew. Is there any area where you are healing now? Say to God, Father, let your spirit come upon me and give me victory over this. Give me victory over this. In the name of Jesus, that particular thing, that delay, that oppression, that sin, that iniquity, that struggle, give me victory, Father, because it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. How Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus, the carpenter's son, was anointed. He was the son of man. He announced himself as son of man. He wants to identify with our frailty. He didn't say you should deny your humanity. But you can live above those human frailty. Jesus taught us. You can live above it. You can live above that faithlessness. You can live above that oppression of the devil. You can live above that lying spirit. You can live above that deception. You can live above that weakness. You can live above them. You can live above that human nature. Jesus lived above it. He was above it. He that's above is above all. You can live above it. That's the announcement this evening. The enabler come. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. It can come upon the young. It can come upon the old, the children and the adults, the men and the women. When it comes upon us, it enables us to serve God. We won't have to be struggled. Our desire will be to please God in the name of Jesus. Is there any area you have become weak now? You have become weak. I want us to pray specifically for those who are weak. You are weak. You look at your life, say, this is not me. No, this is not me. You look at your prayers, you look at your faith, you look at your service to God and say, no, this is not me. What's happening to me? What's happening to me? What's happening to me? I feel there are few people like that. You may want to come to the altar and pray. You don't have to if you don't feel like, but just have the liberty of the Spirit. There are few people you are really weak. You are weak in yourself. You are not the worst of persons. But I just feel if you wouldn't mind, come to the altar and let us pray together. In the name of Jesus Christ. In yourself you feel, I need God. I just need God. I just need Him. I just need, this is not me. I need a touch afresh. I just need the Lord to touch me anew. Can you quickly do that? In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus the Son of Man became Jesus the Son of God. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lame pro capa kentelia. Lift up your hand. Let us pray in the Spirit a little. Let us pray in the Spirit a little. In the name of Jesus. Se capus kentelia. Ye capalade. Impro cotomus kentelia. Bacato vesentelia. Bico pro cotelia. Oh, rimama sondelia. Linkremos kentelia. Men are waiting to see the sons of God. Daughters of God. They want to announce us. They want to announce us. They announce Jesus. They were the one who announced Jesus. Take your scriptures. Only very few occasions, Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. Very few occasions. I was surprised when I saw that. I was surprised myself when I saw it. Only very few occasions. Only very few occasions. It is the demons and the people. They saw his wisdom. They saw his mind. They saw him at another level. They said he's the Son of God. May they see us and acknowledge that we are children of God indeed.
Pretend to Brati posoto prante ke telebojka ya
Thank you, Father. I'm going to pray one prayer for ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 15, Paul the Apostle was praying for that church, started that they are the family of God, and he got to verse 19. He said that the Lord will open our understanding to the depth of the love of Christ, that we might have the fullness of God. But he didn't stop there. He said in verse 20, he said, for he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above what we could ever think of or even pray for. He now mentioned by the power, and that power is the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to say, Father, I yield myself fully, totally to your working, that the fullness of Christ may manifest even in my life, in the name of yield yourself, Lord. I open up myself, I yield myself unto you, that there will be a manifestation of your fullness in me. He said, as he that's able to do exceedingly, that desire of God to bring out the fullness of God in you and in me. And the Spirit of God is not inferior. The one that our Lord just says was baptized with is not inferior from the one that I am yourself have been baptized with. But I yield myself, I open myself unto you, Lord God Almighty. Christ, help us. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Oh, yes, Lord. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. I lift up my hands unto the Lord. Reign in me, Lord. Reign in me. Oh, yes. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, sovereign Lord, reign in me. Captivate my heart, Lord. Captivate my heart. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Establish there your throne. Establish there your throne. Lord, let your will be done. Let your ministered unto us, and you have encouraged us that as we yield ourselves unto you continually, the grace to constantly be yielded unto you, released unto us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that the fullness of Christ may be seen, that our life may reflect the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, the understanding of God, that we may walk in counsel, that we may walk in the fear of God, that we may have quick understanding even of the fear of God in every area of our life, that the whole world that are waiting are groaning may indeed testify of us that indeed we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. That we commit your son and daughter that stepped out in faith, O God. We ask for a fresh feeling upon them, O God, that your grace will rest upon them mightily in the name of Jesus. For every one of us, O God, no one will leave your presence without a fresh touch, even this evening, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you have not asked us to seek in vain, we know our coming to your presence can never be in vain. Thank you, faithful Father. Thank you, your servant that you have used. Virtue has gone out of him, O Lord. Fill him afresh, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name, Father. For in Jesus' most exalted name, you have prayed with thanksgiving. Can we quickly...